Ross Davis.
Roll call here.
Bill Ray. Yvonne Cruz.
Here.
Christina D'Amato Miller. Dave Gibbous. Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker.
Here.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes for March 9th? I'll hear a motion to approve the minutes for March 9th. I wasn't here, so.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Nay? Okay, no, no one?
No,
good?
No,
all right. Check, so moved. Thank you.
He doesn't talk very loud. I can hear him, but.
Yes, please speak up for the
recorder. Is there any public comment today? Do we have anybody? No? Persons wishing to appear?
Would you like to?
Yes, I'm here. So last meeting we talked about hiring a new marketing manager and we were ready for her to get started and voila, she started. This is Amy and how many days are now?
3 weeks?
Oh, this is three.
Week three.
Okay, so
why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
You're on the spot. Well, I never really know what to say about myself, although I spent a good hour. In my presentation talking about myself for the job. Well, I'm born and raised here. I went to the University of Florida. I have my degree in recreation parks and tourism. I have a event planning background and a little bit of a cold. So, sorry, I'm kind of suffering. But I have background in event planning, so I've done a lot of that, and that's kind of where a lot of my marketing experiences came into play with it. And I have a extensive website knowledge, which has been proven to be really helpful, and I'm just really excited to kind of be part of this. And these 3 weeks have been pretty great so far, so yeah, we're happy.
Awesome.
They're treating you nice.
Perfect.
Yeah, we do for at least the first month.
Just wait.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Is there any unfinished business? I mean, I see there's no unfinished business. Does anyone have anything they want to bring up?
Well, you know, we talked about this at the last meeting, so I guess I can go ahead and say this here. We've been filling positions. I want to let you know that Julie Johnson is coming back as our assistant director. So she will start on April 24th. We went through a pretty extensive interview process. And I was proud of her. She did real well. So she's going to, I think I said it, start April 24th. And then we finish the interview process for our senior center supervisor position. I'm pleased to announce that we found someone who is a certified therapeutic recreation specialist. That's really important to us for a couple reasons. One, there are very, very few certified therapeutic recreation specialists who work on the recreation side of the business. And so we get a lot of interns. And interns are very valuable to us because they, first of all, they bring a lot of fresh ideas. They're in school still, so, and they're young and energetic.
Yeah.
But, and especially on the therapeutic side of things, they really do help a lot with programs where we only have one full-time and three part-time staff in that work group, so, and two senior centers that we're running. So that's pretty important. And then also it's important because when we start to build our menu of programs for people with disabilities, it's important to have somebody who understands both the mental and physical part of that. So we will bring her, we don't have a start date for her yet, but possibly by the next meeting she will be on board. And then also our cultural arts division head will be here on May 8th. She's moving from Oregon. And we are hiring a cultural arts supervisor as well, and she has asked that we interview for that position after she gets here. She wants to help hire that person. So those interviews will be in her second week here. She'll be interviewing for that position. And then we've hired how many people for the summer? 50-something people for the summer?
Yeah.
We typically double our workforce in the summer, so for the next 10 to 12 weeks, payroll will be insane. we also did just complete the process for hiring of a park ranger 2 out, and that's the park ranger position that Kiefer Calkins vacated when he was promoted to the Historic and Outdoor Resource Program Coordinator. So we got that one filled with somebody who has some interpretive ranger background, education and background in that. So we're excited about that. And then we have a few other, those are pretty much all the key positions. We have a few other crew leader, irrigation specialists, those kind of positions we're still filling. So we're getting there, starting to feel a little better.
Nice.
That's neat. I noticed that my neighborhood park, there was a sign up that said, like, play kickball with the ranger or something. Yeah. And I thought that was really neat to, you know, get to know who those rangers are.
Yep. So that's a big deal. Good program.
They'll be doing a lot more of that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. We're trying to get the rangers just to engage more with the public from a positive standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the carrot and the stick. And you can only take so much of that stick before you need a carrot. So, and really, Bill's done a great job with that, of trying to help them understand that our role is not, you know, we're not law enforcement. We're there. We should be serving the people that are using our parks legitimately and for the right reasons. And we do understand that we have to be involved in some enforcement activities, but for the most part, we want that to be a positive interaction, for them to be ambassadors to the people who are in our parks for the right reasons. So,
do business. Competitive pickleball venue.
Well, that was Bill's agenda item, so perhaps we can table it till the next meeting, unless somebody knows something about it. The next one is my agenda item. I just wanted to, I don't know that we really need an action, although I wouldn't object to an action. These are actually DRAs. And so one of the things that we've been doing is, when we develop a new DRA, we're trying to put that property to use other than just a big hole in the ground taking up space. And we are very fortunate to have a city engineer who buys into the concept of public use of those spaces. So we have, two of those have been in use already for some time, and we've never really, other than the street name that they're on, we've never really had names for them. And then the other one is a brand new one. So the first one is the 31st Street DRA Walking Trail. We want to rename that to the E.L. Foster Walking Trail. And just to help you understand our philosophy on how we name these things, we like for the name to speak to what the public can expect when they get there. So I don't want a DRA that only has room for a walking trail around it to be called a park, because when the public gets there, there's no playground, there's no open field to play in, there's not picnic facilities, it's a walking trail. So we try to name things accordingly, so that, and they don't count towards our level of service in terms of parkland. Then sometimes there's a DRA and they buy enough land next to it that we can put park amenities in it as well. And we will call those parks, and we will count that portion of it that can be used for outdoor recreation purposes towards our level of service. So that's the first one, the E.L. Foster Walking Trail. Everyone knows who E.L. Foster was? E.L. Foster was a mayor of the city of Ocala. He owned the Holiday Inn in Silver Springs. And he passed away about 2 years ago?
2 years ago, at least.
Yeah. And then the MLK DRA Walking Trail, we want to name the William James Walking Trail. Again, it only has a trail. William James was a West Ocala community advocate and was born and raised in Marion County. And is he still alive?
Yes. I know that his... you keep saying was.
Sorry.
he was a...
And he's still an advocate. So. I know that the last I heard he was well into his 90s, so I thought I should check.
I haven't seen his name in the open page yet.
He is a, he's got, they're writing a book about him. I don't think it's come out yet. I know that the same person that wrote the Paradise Park book.
Cynthia Grant.
Yes. She is writing a book about him and his story. He's got quite a story. So we want to name that MLK DRA Walking Trail, the William James Walking Trail. And then the other one is the Jim Kirk Park. So we just recently, and I believe I've told you about this, but on 28th Avenue, Northeast 28th Avenue, we constructed a very large, they call it a wetlands park, only because it's got the littoral zones and the shelves and the right vegetation. But it's really a big DRA that is the overflow from the system off of State Road 40, and it was done to resolve the flooding issues that happen right there where the golf course is when we have a major storm. Beautiful piece of property, beautifully constructed, and has enough property next to it that we can put a playground in. The Stormwater Division's going to pay $50,000 of that playground. Bill worked with the landscape architect and the playground company to donate another $25,000 worth of equipment. So it'll be a nice little neighborhood playground. You know, we've talked about it before, but I'll say it again. Northeast Ocala has a pretty significant deficit of parkland. And when you look at our master plan and you factor in property, you know, part of what factors into Northeast is the Fort King National Historic Landmark, which really, we call it Northeast because it is Northeast, but it's south of State Road 40, so it's really not Northeast.
Right. Fort King's on the right side of Fort King.
That's exactly right. So, but, and especially when you get around the 14th Street area in North, there's no parks north of 14th Street. This one is actually just south of 14th Street, but it's in an area that doesn't have any neighborhood parks, so it's going to be much appreciated. We're trying to work with the neighbors right now. There are some concerns with the traffic coming through there.
Is the, I never could pronounce the name.
Cahadjo. It's in the Northeast. It's outside county? Of city limits.
Oh, that's
and
county
it's a county
city.
Park. Let me tell you though, Cahadjo Park, the county just acquired 40 plus acres right next to Cahadjo Park that is will now become part of it. It's a pretty phenomenal acquisition. They got a grant from Florida Communities Trust to make that purchase, and it's going to help them to take that park to the next level. So that's exciting stuff. And that park does serve Northeast Ocala.
That's the coming back toward the railroad tracks where the abandoned asphalt construction company.
I think cross over the railroad tracks and then you turn left.
Right, but the piece that they got.
No, the additional land. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that it's not to the north. I don't know.
I think it's to the north of it, on the north side of it.
Yeah.
Towards Indian Lakes.
Yes, because it now connects Cahadjo to Indian Lakes.
Okay.
So, anyways, that park on Northeast 28th Avenue, it will have playground equipment, it'll have picnic facilities, benches, it's got a walking trail, it'll have exercise equipment. We want to name that one the Jim Kirk Park. Jim Kirk was a mayor for the city of Ocala in the 60s and 70s. So,
how did you come about the names?
The city manager's office came about the names.
Okay.
So we do have a couple other names that we feel like we want to recognize at some point, and as some other properties, we have the Wetlands Recharge Park that will come on board. So, and then a couple other little parks that we're going to be developing.
And the third gentleman, he's passed on?
Jim Kirk. I don't know if Jim Kirk is passed on.
Okay.
Do you know?
He has.
I don't know.
I don't know if he has.
As you said, the first one is
I know that
this, but the second one
I knew E.L. Foster personally, so I know that he did.
Okay.
But
I'm not sure about Kirk, but I kind of remember reading something in the paper about him because they were talking about not just being a past mayor, but the radio station and his influence with Barnett Bank, I think it was his chairman of the trustees or something.
So, I don't know if y'all want to make a motion or if you, I mean, they're DRAs, so I don't know that, I just felt like if we're going to call something a park, it needs to come before the Recreation Commission.
Make a motion, we name the park Jim Kirk Park.
Do you want us to make a motion individually for each one or all three?
No, you can do all three. There were two others before you got here. There's your motion.
A motion to accept as is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Make a motion, we name three potential parks, the E.L. Foster Walking Trail, the Jim Kirk Park, and the William James Walking Trail.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No?
Great. I've accomplished something today.
Do you want to talk about the pickleball venue?
Yeah, I do, and I'm glad we brought that up. Pickleball has recently become one of the fastest growing sports in America. There is a center of presence in villages. It is, at one time when the sport first came around, I got associated with it without on top of the world communities, and it was perceived as, well, that's what you do when you go live in the retirement home, is you play pickleball. Well, that's changed. It's a full, complete demographic for people that don't want the skill set that tennis requires, but they want the outdoor activity that some other sports take. It's not a sport typically associated, you know, with badminton. If you can imagine this, the sport, it's like playing ping pong, but you're standing on the ping pong table. And it's typically played with two people. And it's fast, it's exciting. There's a professional tour division that's already started up with it. Locally, we have a couple of our tennis pros. Jason is now, who runs Fort King, he is very active in it. John Sperling, who used to be at Fort King, who's now down at a country club of Ocala, he's very active in it. A lot of, you know, middle-aged guys and young guys are picking it up. When I was out at Tennis Nationals at Surprise, Arizona, which is a outside of Phoenix, it's a Western style master themed development. The city, the area is probably 20,000 acres of a whole new planned community. Pickleball was one of those themed elements that they had in their park. The cost of building them are, you know, substantially less than tennis courts. There is a need for tournament play within the, you know, within the state of Florida, you know, in the southeast, and we've got a, you know, an emerging market here in Ocala that are wanting to play with it, that they're wanting to play, and they're traveling from here down to Naples, Fort Myers, you know, and other places. And well, I know enough to know that it's a new exciting sport. I know enough that it's a growing sport that people are getting very engaged in, that involves, you know, healthy living and outdoor activity and stuff. I know it's less to build than, you know, we're not involved with clay tennis courts or that level. It can be done, I mean, even the tennis courts that we have here could be converted.
I mean, I think the YMCA is like painted out the basketball courts to be converted to pickleball.
Correct.
And then I know the country club's putting in pickleball.
Yeah, they're talking about putting it in on their hard courts where they reef striped them, but they're not. The Villages has just put in a very large facility. I think it's 16 courts or so down off of State Road 40 at Brown's Landing. And these things are used. And, you know, I think it's something that's worthy that we kind of, you know, do that first, you know, dip in it, look in it, try to maybe find a little bit more about it. And then it doesn't take the footprint that tennis courts take.
Can you convert tennis courts like a hybrid use?
Yes, you can, because it's principally the netting that comes to play. Where I've seen them before is that they take tennis courts, I've not done it.
Yeah.
But it's the logical, like saying, can you take a basketball court and turn it into a volleyball court?
You can.
You can. What it has to do with is melding, and it has to do with, you know, mixed use of a facility.
So is it a different net?
Yeah, you got a different net height.
You do?
You got
okay.
Different terminology.
It's like playing inside the two boxes on a tennis court, basically.
That's right.
What I understand.
Yeah, you would take both sides of the kids' tennis court and divide it into
the squares.
Yeah, you divide it into quarters,
whatever they are.
And that's, I think, that's probably part of the reason why it was developed.
Yeah,
is that was the easy thing. Hey, restripe a tennis court to the smaller thing, and go for it. And they found out that originally it was supposed to be for people that didn't want, that were afraid of the injuries and stuff associated with tennis. And now that the game is elevating, they're actually finding out that, you know, hey, this is a pretty intense sport too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And Jason's brought it up and asked about restriping some of the courts.
Are there some tennis courts that aren't necessarily used that often?
Not really.
Yeah.
Probably the most underutilized is MLK. And Gant, and that's for the obvious reason of they're not lit.
Yeah.
So MLK will be lit this year. We'll be lighting that after the summer, after the concert series is over, we'll be lighting those. And Gant, I think we put into light in the next 2 years. But and that's mostly evenings. I mean, during the day, all of them are underutilized. But there's no reason not to... at least make some of them joint use. And especially at a place like here where we have so many courts that you could have a couple be pickleball and then the rest be.
But I said, you know, and looking at it from city visioning, placemaking, and stuff like that, even here at Tuscaloosa, the Tuscaloosa courts to where we have total courts here,
six.
That gives you 12. You know, potential pickleball courts. Now we're talking, you know, again, I'd want to research and see what they, there's actually a, you know, United States Pickleball Association and guidelines and stuff. It's like, how many courts do you recommend for having, you know, per a tournament? You know, something where people would come for a weekend, spend money, and then leave. We're finding out that it's, if we're, you know, nationwide, if you're just doing parks to meet an existing level of service, that's one thing, and we're pretty good on our level of service status. But if we're building parks to increase tourism, increase, you know, potentially economic revenue and things like that, you've got to focus on, you know, having it where it could be a tournament draw, you know, a small one, a weekend or something like that. I like the idea, one, the co-use of an existing facility. If it takes off, you know, it doesn't have as big a footprint as a tennis facility does.
Right.
I like the idea of it being close to downtown. With, if we did have a tournament, it would bring that whole theme together with what, you know, more use of what we're doing with the North, yeah, the North Ocala vision that's going on that MIG is doing, or MGI. And so it's, you know, I think it's something that's, that us staff ought to be able to, if it comes up again, we can say, yes, we've looked into it, and this is our decision.
Yeah, we'll research it, and we can bring some information back, and if you can look into it, too.
Yeah, I'll look into it also.
And we can bring some information back.
I mean, it's one of those things, like at MLK, where we got plenty of space, you know, and that's the thing. That everyone always plans for, kind of, in my opinion, I've seen a lot of people plan for failure, and I'm like, well, we can change that plan for success. What happens if this really is a success? Can we expand? Can, you know, do we really look at, you know, when they had the Pickleball Nationals down at Naples, I mean, you're talking, you know, 10, 12,000 people that come and show up for that thing. It's one of those under the radar sports that most everyone hasn't caught on with yet, but you know, I think something was worth, you know.
Sure.
Staff reports, Mike Eric, update.
You want to give an update on Fort King and
I got a few. Do you want me to do Lily's pen?
Yeah, do.
Okay. Well, we'll start off since our last meeting, Tom's Park. We finished the ADA access to the bathrooms, and the bathrooms we finished as well. They're up and running, and we're now secure in that park and those bathrooms and patrolling it every evening. Looks great. Our crew did it. We were waiting on a contractor for our concrete contract that we have, and it was just taking too long. So we threw it into our projects crew, and they literally knocked that thing out in 2 days and had it done, and it looks great. Same crew has actually been working on Lily's Pad. I went out with Kathy yesterday. We looked at, they got, I would say, 75% of their sidewalks done yesterday, and the other portion will be finished tomorrow. The colored concrete was put in as well. They took care of that, and the pad for the shower and fountain, water fountain, that's all taken care of. I'll be going back out there later this evening to look at the cure and look at the color and see how it's matched in. You couldn't tell last night if it was going to be a perfect match since it was still wet. So curious to go out there today and finish that off. Outside of that, we will officially kick off construction on the reconstruction of Fort King starting Saturday. We will have our one of our contractors that volunteered their services, Skidder Dunn, Bim Ray, local gentleman from the area, donated the land clearing to us to help with our matching portion of the grant, and he'll start clearing the underbrush on Saturday. The project crew will be going in and start clearing some of the debris at the same time over the next week, and we expect to have all the land clearing done by the 24th at this point. Soon after that, we'll start about 3 weeks process of leveling the site, capping the site, leveling it. New survey markers got to go in, whole nine yards, since we're dumping a whole bunch of truckloads of dirt in there. And we should be ready to hand this thing over to Tillman and Associates about the beginning of June and have that going forward.
What's this site?
Fort King National Historic Landmark.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Reading Ranger is going to be kicking off soon, as soon as school's out. We'll be kicking off Reading Ranger again. That was highly successful last year. A few changes to it this year, a few additional Rangers that will be joining in that. Last year we averaged attendance of about 60 kids per Reading Ranger program that we did, which was excellent.
That is excellent.
We did it at a different park. A different park every Friday for, I think it was 12 Fridays, wasn't it? I think it was 12. 12 Fridays in a row. Amy's already put the marketing out for that. We've got it gone out. It's gone out to the library. It's gone out to the schools. So we're pushing that one really strong this year. And I normally hold a staff meeting on Tuesdays in my office at the Parks Operations Center. As of this week, we changed that, and what we'll start doing is all the park staff will meet with me at a different park every week. We'll go have our regular, handle our normal business we do, routines, what we're doing for that week, what we finished the week before. And at the end of our meeting, my staff and I will walk the park, and they will each give their input as to what their division, maintenance, mm-hmm. projects, ranger enforcement division, horticulture, irrigation, can do to beautify that park. I expect to try to, well, I got just starting to work on it, but I expect to try to get most of those improvements done. My goal is to try to get them done within 30 days, and that's all dependent on the projects we have and how big this project's gonna be for each park. We got a few changes coming to Tuscarawilla. That was the first one we held this week, and our horticulturalist is gonna be making quite a few changes there. And Ross, you were not here for the last meeting. Suzanne Shuffett from the DC has come over as our horticulturalist to Parks now. And she's kind of filling both right now, but that'll soon change when her replacement gets here.
Okay.
So
nice.
Just a couple other project stuff. I can remember if at the last meeting we let you know that the Farm Market Park was complete. Mm-hmm. Heritage Nature Conservancy, we're still jumping through hoops with the state on approval to proceed with that project. We are now past 2 years of working on that approval. And I am every single day jumping through a new hoop, but I am going to be a model of persistence. I am going to get them to give me my way.
Is that the one that's on 3rd Street?
Yes.
Yep.
What's wrong with it?
Well, we want to pave the walking trail and the parking lot, the DRA expansion, and then more play equipment and stuff.
Do you have to get state approval for
that? 5 or 6
It's a Florida Communities Trust property. We purchased it, and so we have to have their approval for anything that we do in there.
That's one of my favorite parts.
We are so close now. It's
really?
There's the little things they're picking on now, so we're going to get there. The other thing is the train station. We had talked to you about the fact that we were going to be, we have a not-for-profit organization that works with us on converting that piece into that facility into a art incubator. They have been doing fundraising for probably about 1.5 years now. They're starting to close in on their target, and they have a partner that came on board with them. So we're just about there. The city has signed a contract with an architect to prepare the construction drawings. And so I would hope probably within, I'd say by the end of the summer, we'll be ready to put out the bid for the renovations there. The other thing is the skate park. I don't know if you read the article in the newspaper. City Council at their strategic workshop made a decision that they would like to move the skate park location. Good thing we hadn't already put it in the ground. And they want to move it back here, which is back here on the other side of this parking lot we just built. They feel like that parking lot will then, you know, then we don't have to build a new parking lot, so we save a couple $100,000 there. Originally, that was one of our favorite sites. It's more of an urban setting.
Yeah.
It just feels right. So, but we got some pushback from then city council, and so this city council supports it. They have asked us, they have said that we need $750,000. City council has said they will fund $250,000 of it if we can get local sponsorship of another $250,000. And then the other $250,000 either from corporate or grant sponsorship. So we are waiting until the Fort King Heritage Association has completed their big fundraising drive for the fort before we get out there and start fundraising, because we don't want to compete with ourselves. So
did we ever do any the initial site engineering, geotech, and all that stuff?
At that site, we did. We were at 50% construction. 50% design.
Right.
So Paul Steniford is working up the price estimate to the skate park itself.
That's a plug and play.
Yeah, none of that's changing. And we've already been out there to measure and that the footprint is big enough. Everything's fine with that. We have to do the geotech again and then just some site design. So, and I don't expect that's going to be a big change.
This site, I think, will be cheaper to build.
Yeah.
Than
that's. So. I can tell you from the limestone we hit.
Yeah.
At the other site, it's going to be much cheaper.
Yeah.
Much easier.
I'm logically placemaking all that kind of stuff. This is a.
Yeah.
We get skate park there, pickleball courts there, castle tracks. Well, get that activity center going on, and we're all looking.
And they're starting to see they're starting to recognize skateboarding as a mode of transportation, and you know, we're putting a trail through here, and we're welcoming people on bikes, but not people on skateboards. And so, I mean, there's this council gets it, so and John Zobler gets it. So there's a lot.
If you're on rolling wheels, it's transportation.
Yeah.
And also on the Lillian Bryant splash pad, I couldn't remember if you said this, that grand opening is May 20th. I think you guys have something attached.
We do.
So come out to that.
That's a Saturday, I assume?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that we were keeping it on a Wednesday, because that would make any sense at 11.
Come out! Well, everyone's at school!
If it was the middle of the summer, we would.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yes.
In June. But May.
This is actually, May 20th is actually Take a Kid to the Park, National Take a Kid to the Park Day or something like that. Kids to Park Day.
Perfect.
So we figured that's
take advantage.
Significance of that day. It's also, it's some other day too, I can't remember.
And it's not going to be open at all prior to that?
No.
So it's just going to be
that day. Okay. They started on the restrooms.
What'd they tear that up quick?
Yeah,
so that was a 3-hour job.
We might have overpaid for that demolition job.
Did they just flatten the one that was there?
No, they just gutted it. The inside
of the shell's still there.
Well, that whole floor has to be redone. They're going to be knocking the floor out too, because the floor, to serve the splash pad, the floor has to be sloped to floor drains. And for some reason, when they built that,
it was
bathroom. They didn't put floor
drains in there. For a bathroom, you would have thought.
There's no drains in the bottom.
You would have thought.
Yeah.
You didn't fly a tank.
That's the top part.
I can't even imagine, though, because that's not that old. I mean, it's crazy to me.
How much water are they expecting to get in there with the...
Well, people will walk in.
Dripping.
Right.
Cement,
people will walk
so it's
in.
Soak in.
Well, and it's about clean. It's about being able to clean it out.
Yeah.
You
know,
they want to know that all your germs go away at the end of the day
you
when you
back
hose
to the
it down.
Bed.
You spray it.
Yeah, when we hose it down, they want to know that it gets cleaned. So anyways, we are going to bring in a portable... We went down and got a waiver from the state to put in a portable. We're bringing in one of those, not portalettes,
built
in
life.
A trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we'll use for probably the first month that we're open. And then the restrooms will get done and then we'll be good to go. Is your trail?
Got me fenced off. I'm shorting my wolf, you know.
Just loop it twice.
Just walk the fence line.
Yeah. You can't get around.
You can walk the outside of it. That'll make it up.
Bad.
I can't get around the fence. That would extend it a couple of steps, but shorten it.
And then I don't know if you saw, but the parking lot over here,
yeah,
north of the Riley Art Center is done.
Yep.
Oh, one more thing about the pavilions. Did you look into electricity?
Oh, I forgot I was supposed to do that.
Because summer is coming, and you're going, and with that park, you're definitely going to have a lot of additional activity using the pavilion there.
Why don't we have water and electric at MLK and Lily and Bryant pavilions? Just kind of crazy.
So it should be that hard to run water to pavilion when we've got the bathroom on.
Yeah.
Both ends.
Electricity,
so
anyway. Because, I mean, most people, when they're using the pavilions, they want music. Can't plug it in.
Right, true.
For anything, you know, music, maintenance, cleanup, whatever.
Yeah.
But then they just figure out how to get it in there right, not get a typical box hanging on the side of the post.
Somebody
uses the step to climb up.
Well, we have a lot of issues with the
you
power.
You need one you can lock.
Being vandalized there now.
Yeah.
Because the box is where the bathroom is. So they're constantly throwing switches on us, which throws us off for ball fields and everything else. So.
We'll look at it, though. Did you make a note? Because I can't be trusted.
Power, but certainly water. Yeah, that's the problem. Running like a 2-inch line out there.
Parks operations.
Yeah, I think he included that.
That was pretty much included.
The whole wrap there.
And I have, recreations update. John Spencer, our recreation division head, is participating in the Citizens Academy. And so he couldn't be here. Let's see. We did get two full-time recreation leaders. I think I mentioned that at the last meeting, but they are both on now. Charles Dobson comes to us from the Boys and Girls Club, but it was the Boys and Girls, it wasn't Marion County Boys and Girls Club, it was another one. but he's got a lot of recreation experience. And then Brandon Farmer, he's a local boy. His mother used to work for the city of Ocala, for our department, and he has gone full-time as well. Great guy. And then program-wise, he's encouraging staff to create new programs, something easy, something hard, and something way too hard. Trying to encourage him. I said, tell him it needs to not involve a ball. Yeah. Let's come up with a program that doesn't involve a ball. We're trying to get the pools ready to go. We've had some mechanical issues, and so working through those so that by the time we're ready to open and we got lifeguard training and all that going on, we do have our minibus should be here any minute. So they will put that to some serious use this summer, and then in the fall, Darren Williams, who runs Lillian Bryant Rec Center, he and Brandon and Charles are charged with developing our outreach program, and so they'll be busing kids into Lillian Bryant Rec Center. Typically, we're looking to target at-risk youth, so. And I know Darren's working hard with the school board. I don't know that he's gotten anywhere with it, but he's trying to get the school system to make Lillian Bryant a bus stop so that kids don't have to go home and then be picked up and bused, that they can just be, they can be a bus stop. So, and that the kids that are, you know that they want to get off at Lillian Bryant know they got to be on that bus. So we're trying to work on that. Other communities do that.
As a bus, a school bus stop or a SunTrain?
School bus.
Yeah, Jerry tried that unsuccessfully.
I know. We've tried it before too. Darren, you know, he's a pretty persuasive dude, so we'll see how far.
We have a new school administration also. That's right, that might be it.
Well, and quite frankly, I think we're seeing some of the effects of, you know, programs got cut. We used to have some really good, we had the Weed and Seed program and the STARS program, a lot of outreach. And we, you know, then things get better and then you let your guard down for a good decade and you start to see the benefits of that. So it's time to gear this back up, and it's going to take the whole community working on it. So that's the angle he's going from. They've been doing a lot of cleaning out, organizing storage units, rec centers, just trying to get rid of the old stuff. We got a lot of just stuff that we've had forever that isn't in use, and they're donating some of it. I've seen a couple letters come through from organizations that are just so grateful to have some of the stuff, and they'll put it to great use. And so that's it from the recreation side.
I would like to add to the parks end of it that Kiefer Calkins, which is the programmer out at 14th Agency in Scott Springs, has completed everything to start and conduct his first summer camps this year, which are adventure slash history camps. They all have an educational component to them. It's not just come and have fun. They all have, every single one of them has an educational component to it. Ranging from a third grade to a seventh grade SOL. And he's actually got his first two folks signed up already. Thanks. So we're excited about it for the fact that, unlike the other programs, we are now directly marketing to and focusing on the 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, which we have not provided programming for in a long, long time. And the county hasn't either. So these are the kids that are more mobile. More mobile tend to get into bigger problems. So we're hoping to kind of help with that end of things and get these kids moving and outdoors. And it has an outdoor component and an educational component mixed together. So
special services.
So for special services, Kathy touched on summer hiring, which of course this comes to our busy time for administration specifically, not only for the hiring process, but once our summer camps get well, preparation for, and once they're kicked off and in gear, then our financial group is pretty bombarded with
payroll,
money spending, deposits, invoices, receipts, hundreds of them. So that's a pretty busy time for our group. And in addition to hiring staff, one thing, and Kathy touched on, when we hire the program supervisor for the senior centers, when Diane left, you know, she was a certified therapeutic recreation specialist, and that's an internship that was sought statewide. I mean, we had people from out of state come for that internship, college, undergraduate. And when she left, then that went away as well. And so the person that we're hiring will also have that designation, so we can start back with some undergraduate internships. But our push has been this year some high school internships. And it's really turning out to be pretty successful with the school system. We currently have 4 on board right now, and we, for the summer, we're adding 7 more. So we'll have a pretty good group. Some are paid, some are unpaid. Just depends upon the department that they're going to be in. So that's pretty exciting, and it's a big help. And it's not only a help to our, it's not just our department, it's going to be in water resources, electric, IT. So it's encouraging that all departments are actually getting on board with it.
So to remind you, Connie handles, in addition to supervising the administrative arm of this organization, she handles the volunteer and internship program for the entire city.
Oh, wow.
Because we use so many volunteers and had the original internship program, mm-hmm. it just made sense that it would be housed in this department. We were already doing it. And let me just tell you, we had a senior leadership meeting yesterday, and was that yesterday? Yeah. And had conversation about this internship program, and some phenomenal stuff is happening because the department heads are really starting to get the role that the city can play in employing and getting our youth, when they go off and get an education, to come back, to even understand what we have. You know, we hire a lot of our locals in the grass mowing jobs, but we want to hire them in the professional jobs, mm-hmm. the skilled jobs, where they can actually make a good paycheck. Mm-hmm. And so our fleet department has engaged MTI, and through Connie, gotten interns over there, that when those interns, they've just recently hired 2 of them, had 2 jobs come open, and were able to hire those kids, already certified, and they trained them, so they know, they already know our business. The fire department recently was successful in working with the College of Central Florida and CTAE. I know they call themselves something different than that now, but they have gotten, and the fire college, to get our program eligible for Pell Grants.
Really?
And that is huge, because so many kids qualified that could otherwise be very good firemen can't afford it. They can't afford to go through the training. And so because they can get grants for that now, that's a huge deal. And they're doing a lot of recruiting and trying to get, they're working on a program right now. They working through the school system with ESE kids, who you would think, you know, you might think that there's an issue and maybe they couldn't be a firefighter, but I'll tell you what, our fire chief has an uncanny ability for honing in on good character and the ability to learn the right skills. And he has a couple kids that were in an ESE program at the high school level who are now in the fire college preparing to become firemen. And it's just everyone's getting it, that they need to be engaged with what the school system, and having Connie's connection with the guy that's running MTI, and his role is going to change under the new superintendent. It's going to go countywide, and so it's a pretty big deal. Connie's also working on a program for our department, where what we find is people don't realize you can do this for a living, that this is a job, right? And so we want to start a junior counselor program and you can't volunteer with us until you're 16 years old. So we want to start a program that is a registered program. It'll likely be free, where we can get kids to sign up when they're 13, 14, and 15 years old, and they can, and so they're basically volunteering for us, but under a program where we will direct them and help them understand this business and educationally what they need to do if they want to have that guy's job, and help that, you know, work with their counselors at their schools so that they can start to take the right classes and prepare, and then when they go to the university, they can, they'll understand that they can major in this, that there are, you know, this is a something you can do as a career. You know, our recreation supervisors, they come in starting at $38,000 a year, and so, but if our local people don't even know you can major in that, we're having to fill our positions with people who don't even live in this community. And it's a, you know, recreation is very much a social service, and so it's helpful when the people providing the social services are born and raised here, come from here. Maybe if they're not even born here, they understand our community and care about our community. And so it's good for us to try to engage our locals.
That's pretty good. My granddaughter is 14, and she told me last week she want to work with old people. Now, what does that mean? I want to work with old people. You talking about me?
Or me?
I didn't quite get that.
But you know what? That's a passion. When we did the interviews for the senior center, I told John, I said, we had some people that were just phenomenal. But we came down to, and we were getting ready to interview the very last one. I said, but you know what I haven't heard from a single one of them is, this is my passion. When you work with the elderly and you work with, and I'm not talking about your age, I'm talking about the real elderly, and you work with and you work with those with disabilities, it takes a special person. You have to, you can go through the motions, any of us could go through the motions, but people that, you can tell when people have a passion for it. And so that last lady came in to interview, and I mean, she must have said it 3 or 4 times, I have known all my life that this is what I would do. And so you just, you're hired.
Mine failed the test because I told her to go and spend the weekend with her grandmother. My wife's mother is 101.
Wow.
And she failed. My grandma? Oh, no, that's okay, Dad. That's okay.
And those are the ones, that's what we have. We have the super seniors is typically who we're serving here.
101.
That's great.
That is great.
Yeah, she's 101. That's great.
And we have our Arbor Day. Yeah, we have our Arbor Day celebration coming up the 22nd. And I think since we met, wasn't that a day to remember after our last meeting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was...
wild.
I've never seen so many people in Tuscola Park at one time.
I learned so much. I mean, we put on some major events, right?
Yeah.
First of all, we put on those events. Like, you put on a Light Up Ocala, there's 20,000 people, but we planned that for a solid year. I mean, the day after that, well, okay, 2 days after Light Up Ocala is over, we're already planning for the next one. This one was just, I mean, it literally was thrown together. And I mean, Janie Pope, she does a phenomenal job with, considering she's also the city's PIO. But she put together, you know, when she puts a concert like that together, she so understands the sound and the dealing with the bands. And I'm telling you, these people, it is just crazy. But what she does, the logistics part of it, she doesn't really put a lot of thought into that.
So, which is like the 3/4 of it.
Flying by the seat of our pants. But these guys, I mean, and Connie, pulling, we had over 56
volunteers. We had.
I mean, they are phenomenal at pulling all that kind of stuff together.
And when you get here and the line is from in front of the Discovery Center all the way down past around the fire station to... It was, and not just one line.
Sanchez was.
It was like that for 3 hours.
I mean, it was a wall of people all the way down and wrapped around.
The opening band got to play for over an extra hour.
Yeah, because we couldn't get everybody.
Did they really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
And then we had a DJ play for like 45 minutes, just so we could get everybody in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane.
But I'm gonna tell you what. You know, and the crowd was. You know, they're young and dumb. We'll just, you know, they're young adults. But we didn't have any major problems.
Good.
I mean, it was, they were well behaved. They were, I mean, they do some crazy stuff at those kind of concerts, but they had a good time and no major incidents. I mean, it really was wonderful.
Good.
So
we don't want to do it again anytime soon.
Yeah,
Janie, a lot more staff.
Janie comes over the radio because we set the capacity at 7,500. We ended up having about 6,500. Yeah. And she comes over the radio, and it only, so the stage was set back there in the parking lot, not the far parking lot, this one. And then it only came, the crowd only came to about the corner of our building.
The curb.
And, but we were fenced all the way past Discovery.
Backed all the way in, right next to
each other. Right, because they stand right on top of each other.
Heaven forbid we take advantage of all the space here.
Yeah. But, one big mosh pit.
Yeah.
So Janie comes over the radio and goes, Kathy Crowd, look how 6,500 people fit in this space. We could double it next time. I said, shut your mouth.
Or we couldn't.
And that's kind of the comment that I made. It's like, you know, plan for success.
Yeah.
I mean, because it comes in, you know, sure, you know, 6,500, wow, crazy and everything. Okay, then, you know, next year, 75, 85. All of a sudden you come up to where you start getting these iconic events. Worth, you know, 12,000, you know.
It was a good test.
That was pretty iconic.
The biggest challenge is the parking, being able to park the number. So they parked at the Livestock Pavilion and bust them in on SunTrend. We just got such a kick out of the line out here waiting for the SunTrend bus to come back, and I thought, well, I'll be here all night.
So that was their biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Our biggest challenge was the band changed things numerous times on us, and the venue changed 2 weeks before the event. After we already had everything planned out. And the date changed numerous times, and by the time we had a solid date, I had already given half my staff time off for spring break.
Look at all the lessons
learned. I literally had half the staff that I would have had.
Look at all the lessons learned.
And the thing is, when a group stands so tight, there's no getting to a garbage can.
Oh,
so
right? Trash.
It was just wall to wall trash.
Yeah. Never seen so many beer bottles in my life. With all the beer bottles I've seen put together till now.
I heard someone go over the radio and say, listen, just get a blower and blow it all to one
all
side.
And we'll shovel it.
Yeah. And we'll shovel it up.
And that's what we did.
We
blew all the beer cans from here to Riley so they'd gather at the curb.
Yeah.
Because that's where the curb's at. And we just shoveled them up with the inmates. Took big, big horse shovels and shoveled them up.
You guys do it with the big industrial leaf blowers that mount on the back of the small tractors.
Yeah.
That blow out a million miles.
Well,
per
Bill
hour.
Thought he was going to run over it with the new street sweeper.
No, that didn't work.
And it just pushed
it. Pushes them.
Yeah, really.
I was like, this is working. I was going and no beer cans. And then when I lifted the thing to dump it, I was like, beer cans. It picked up everything else.
Yeah.
Beer cans were just under the machine. Yeah. So we're like, bring probably a works machine in next time.
Yeah.
That's another lesson we learned.
Lessons learned.
It was fun stuff, though. It really was fun.
Those things, every feedback that I got about it was just, this is the greatest thing that's happened in Ocala in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, when people start looking at
it, was crazy.
At that.
As long as they waited, not one complaint from the people standing in line.
Yeah.
As long as they waited, not one single complaint from people standing in line, which was unbelievable.
Well, if you go to a concert, you're kind of used to that. I mean,
and
that whole wall-to-wall people and claustrophobia stuff.
All that kind of stuff, that's what they want.
That's what they want.
They want that feel of mass. You know,
and who's coming? Brick City Beer Festival is
Molly Hatchet.
That's
right. Brick City Beer Festival.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's going to
be a real fun night.
That's a better crowd.
I'm there on 10 to 10, probably.
Woo!
I can't wait. Yeah. So we've got like 20 different beer and wine vendors. This is the most wine vendors we've gotten this year. So I'm excited. We have six. We usually have like three. So I'm kind of excited, and we have a couple more sales vendors than we did last year. I think we have 13, yeah, like 10. So we're trying to grow a little bit every year, but this year we're gonna be packed in there because that Citizen Circle,
So we like to try to have everything a little bit spread out, but
it's going to be with Molly Hatchet. It's going to be.
It's going to be insane. Yeah. It's going to be like the worst Revolt 2 years ago. So it's going to be good. I mean, we were getting kind of nervous because it's always a struggle trying to find entertainment and getting something that's going to have a good draw. And I mean, we literally just contracted Molly Hatchet in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of concerts. It's really hard. Big festival type concerts right go on this time of year, so it's hard to find entertainment.
Molly Hatchet with this crowd outside of Gainesville, it's just going to be scary.
That's the ideal every year that we do it, is we try to go for like a classic Southern rock band, but it doesn't always work out our favor, so this year it's going to. So we're hoping to raise, the goal is to raise at least $18,000.
So next year we get 38 special.
Oh, we'll see. I don't know. We can only hope. We're hoping to raise. We tried to get one of the brothers of From the Skinner. And we tried to get him Donnie
He's passed.
Yeah, no, he made a verbal commitment and then he died like a couple of days later.
Yeah.
Wow. That's bad. So you made your 38 special. Yeah, I don't think we're getting the full 38 special.
He even performed at the golf course the time that they didn't tell us they were bringing the class of whatever at Fort O'Callaghan.
Oh,
they didn't tell us they were bringing a concert.